There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Now, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Thursday. And wow, do we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Over the next 2 hours, live local talk. Phone number, your way to interact. Phone, text line, they're both waiting for you at 343-0106. 343-0106. And Dalton, you can look at the ticker there. Facebook, the bargain buyers for Facebook have not picked up the slack yet. Facebook down 19.05%, down 41.43 as we get started with the show today. As we were talking about this morning, the aftermarket trading, what had happened there, and now looking at Facebook's day to pay the piper. That's not looking good. We'll keep our eyes on that, but a lot to talk about. Coming up in hour number two, take you to Washington and the discussion going on there. I think this is pretty interesting as a side that we really don't get to see in the public eye maybe playing out as the Speaker of the House race is going on. And it's interesting when you go back through this, you see what has been in the news cycle for the last month and a half, and see how pieces have come together to either prefer or prevent people moving into Republican leadership there in the House. We'll talk about that coming up in hour number two with Jeff Poor. He'll join us. Also on the way, we mentioned it this morning, and now a lot more out about this indictment of Randy Davis, Alabama legislator, Representative Randy Davis. And we'll get to some more. More of us have had a chance to read through some of the indictment that came out yesterday, and I want to get you some of that story, and also what other people are saying, and maybe some past stories that may shed some more light on this. We'll get to that coming up in just a second. I do want to start off with this, though, and Bill Britt will join us here shortly from the Alabama Political Reporter to talk about that. I want to start off, though, with this Caitlin Collins story. And this is like a national story, but I'm focused on it because of its Alabama roots. And I think some twists and turns that aren't being reported everywhere that I think may give you better insight into talking about this. You talk about this around the water cooler over the weekend. So Caitlin Collins, right? She's the, can we go to the audio? We'll go to the audio here. And it has so many people talking. Caitlin Collins, as she was asking questions of the president, she was there representing the press corps and said,
"Did Michael Cohen betray you, Mr. President?"
Thank you, everybody.
Mr. President.
Keep moving, guys.
Did Michael Cohen betray you?
Are you leaning towards tariffs on cars, sir?
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody.
Mr. President, are you worried about what Michael Cohen is going to say to prosecutors?
Thank you, Caitlin. Let's keep going.
Are you worried about what is on the other tapes, Mr. President?
Thank you all.
Okay, so there's Caitlin Collins working with CNN, all right? And those questions lobbed at the president yesterday. Then this started the bigger part of the story, as Caitlin Collins was not invited then to go to the Rose Garden meeting about the good news on trade, you know, the tariff deal with Juncker from the EU, right? She was disinvited. I think they said, well, the cameras from CNN can come. You can have, say, but you, Caitlin Collins, is you're not welcome. You're not welcome. And part of that other, the rest of the story there too, Fox News and other news groups have stepped up to back Caitlin Collins. Once again, she was there as part of the pool, right? When not all reporters can be in, they cycle through, and it's a different person's to represent the press in a given meeting. Story here from the AP says a CNN correspondent was barred from attending an open press event at the White House on Wednesday because of questions she asked President Donald Trump earlier in the day. Caitlin Collins and her employer, CNN, say the White House denied Collins access to Trump's Rose Garden event with the European Commission president because officials found her earlier questions inappropriate. Collins had served as a representative of the television networks during an earlier pool spray in the Oval Office. You know, why can't they write this in regular people speak? In other words, she was there representing multiple news groups, pool reporters, something they do when they can't get everybody in the room. She and a handful of other reporters peppered the president with questions, including many focused on his former lawyer, Michael Cohen, that you heard in that audio there. CNN on Tuesday obtained and aired that secret audio recording that captured then-candidate Trump and Cohen discussing a potential payment to a former Playboy model who claimed she had an affair with Trump. All right, so there's the backstory. And so you heard the audio from Caitlin Collins. And then what has been thrown back as of yesterday is, hey, this is unfair. You know, this is unfair, and this is, well, let's compare it to what happened when Obama was in the White House. Remember this? You've probably seen this video go up with President Obama getting upset with questions he was receiving from Neil Monroe back in 2012. Well, let me tie these ends together. We will talk about this later this hour and next hour. But Caitlin Collins, first of all, Alabamian, okay? Caitlin Collins from Prattville. All right, she then attended the University of Alabama. This makes me feel old. I think she was born when I was a sophomore at Alabama. 92. So Caitlin Collins from Prattville went to Alabama, graduated with a journalism degree and minor in political science in May of 2014. Collins began working as a freelance writer and blogger. Now, where did she work? Well, in 2014, she was hired by the Daily Caller as an entertainment reporter and became the website's White House correspondent in January 2017. So let me give you some backstory here. So Daily Caller, conservative site, right? A lot of people you've heard on this show over the years have had time at the Daily Caller. Alex Pappas, Mobilian, right, who's with Fox News now. He was at the Daily Caller. Jeff Poor, of course, big part of the show. He'll be joining us next hour, was with the Daily Caller. There's a lot of voices you've heard on the show that have been with the Daily Caller. Well, Caitlin Collins was one of those. She graduates from Alabama doing freelance, starts working for the Daily Caller, where actually she was in charge, I guess, when she started, of slideshow content. If you follow the Daily Caller still, they have a little bit of that. You won't believe these pictures of kittens, you know, that are riding skateboards. You know what I'm saying? You do the slideshow things. Like AL.com does, you know, the best bikinis of mullet, those kind of things. So she was in charge of slideshow content for the Daily Caller. Listen, any way you can get in the business, you're new, you work in the business, I respect that. She then became, through, I guess, attrition and probably effort, became the White House correspondent for the Daily Caller. She then, with that position as being the White House correspondent for the DailyCaller.com, then started being parts of panels on CNN, I think some Fox shows and this and that. Then in January of 2017, CNN announces that Caitlin Collins is part of their staff and is going to be their White House correspondent. Okay, so Caitlin Collins then moves into White House correspondent for CNN. So there's the timeline. First of all, Alabamian, and went up through the Daily Caller, conservative ranks. Neil Monroe, who, drew the scorn of Obama and liberals asking those questions. Neil Monroe also worked with Caitlin Collins at the Daily Caller. So the two people that are being, used back and forth as bludgeons in this, whether President Trump is muting the press or did, you know, Barack Obama do it first? They're both worked at the same place, the Daily Caller, which Tucker Carlson, you see Tucker on Fox News, that Tucker Carlson's exercise into the web content, that's Tucker Carlson and other investors, but Tucker Carlson's baby is the Daily Caller. And it's just interesting. So the two reporters have roots in the same place. And one of them, Caitlin Collins, has roots right here in Alabama. So as that story, I don't think you got the final take on this story. I think much more will be discussed on this. But number one, Caitlin Collins and Neil Monroe, both with the Daily Caller, and Caitlin Collins from right here in the state of Alabama. Which, by the way, if any of y'all have contact, I tried to make the contact this morning, but if you... if you've got a chance to do, any kind of, maybe you know her kinfolk up in Prattville or something, please send her a letter. Let her know. We'd like to get her on the show. All right. 1216 FM Talk 106.5. We're coming right back, and we'll talk to Bill Britt here in a little bit with the Randy Davis indictment story, get his take on it. Also, Dalton's going to get me that Neil Monroe audio. We'll get to that in just a little bit. And also, we'll keep our ticker on the Facebook shares, as it looks like a bloodbath for Facebook right now. All right, all that straight ahead right here on a Thursday edition of Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Thursday. And Bill Britt is going to join us in just a second. I do want to, let me play this too. As I mentioned, the compare and contrast I thought was interesting, as, you know, the whatever we're abuzz about today is Caitlin Collins being told she could not come to yesterday. So CNN reporter who had asked the questions there of President Trump at that presser, I played that audio, and was told she couldn't come to the Rose Garden for the event there with Juncker from the EU. And then the compare and contrast has been, well, what about Neil Monroe? Remember Neil Monroe and Obama?
And the answer to your question, sir, and the next time I'd prefer you let me finish my statements before you ask that question, is this is the right thing to do for the American people. Babika, I didn't ask for an argument. I'm answering your question. It is the right thing to do for the American people, and here's why. Here's the reason. Because...
Okay, so you hardly hear Neil Monroe in there, but that was the interchange. Remember when the left was all up in arms because how dare Neil Monroe ask those questions back then? He was being rude. It was lacking decorum. And I just pointed out the interesting angle here, number one, other than Caitlin Collins being from Alabama, from Prattville, she went to work for the Daily Caller. She went from the Daily Caller, where she was a White House correspondent, to CNN as the White House correspondent. Neil Monroe, who was chastised by Obama for how dare he ask that question, was working with the Daily Caller at that point too. So I think it's just kind of an interesting, as this story comes out, it'll probably be hashed and rehashed 20 times, get some of the content in the background. All right, I do need to take one call here. I know we got other people holding, but I'm going to get to Bill Britt. But I do want to take Chris, because, you know, it's kind of, If you're going to be chastising me, I will take your call. So, Chris in Orange Beach.
Crushed.
Hey, yeah.
I'm just crushed. One of my heroes in America has gone down the wrong path.
What happened? Who's that?
Beside myself. Sean Sullivan.
What did I do?
Well, you were reading the liberal narrative instead of the actual news. You were actually reporting fake news. I couldn't believe it.
No, I was reporting. I was reading the story. I said...
Exactly. You read the liberal line is that they want you to believe the tape is about Trump paying a model, Playboy model. The tape was about him buying the rights to the story from the Inquirer.
Sure, I've reported that. I reported that several times.
Nobody's discussing paying a model. It's not about paying a model at all. He's buying a story from the National Enquirer.
You know what, Ed, Chris, I'm sorry if I read it line for line. What I was trying to get to was the takeaway for Caitlin Collins. If you heard me yesterday, I talked about it several times. I talked about it several times, and, you know, I think I have a pretty accurate assessment. I was the one asking, are we talking about legalized blackmail in these catch-and-kill stories? So I'm sorry if I read through that story. I was just trying to get to the point of Caitlin Collins, who is she, and Neil Monroe, who is he in this story. So my apologies,
I know,
man.
Real journalism has turned into attack journalism, and that's sad.
Well,
you're not doing that, but you're fed right on down the line reading about him offering to pay a model, and that's not ever what he ever tried to do.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough, Chris, and I will take that. I'll take that to heart. I just was. Yeah, just reading. I was basically, and you're right. I read that line out of that story because I was trying to get to the Caitlin Collins portion of it. So there's my reasoning, but mea culpa, if you'll take it. All right, there you go. Which, by the way, lucky for me, I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator, which frees me up to talk to real journalists like Bill Britt from the Alabama Political Reporter. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Sean, thanks for having me on. I really enjoy all our conversation.
That's great, because I'm here just, you know, I'm just lobbing spaghetti at the wall, and then you've got to actually back things up with facts, so you got the harder job.
Well, you know, when we prosecuted or written about some of these politicians. They called everything we did lies and called us everything under the book. But when they went to jail, things changed. used to that.
Yeah, I kind of am too. All right, I want to get into the story that we're breaking yesterday. I reported on some this morning, but this is down here. People are looking at the Representative Randy Davis portion of this with this, superseding indictment, which I read through the report, and what is superseding? Does that just mean extra stuff when you have one of these?
Yeah, it does. That, you know, what this goes back to when Representative Mickey Hammond out of the Decatur area, he really triggered this entire investigation, and my take on this is that Mickey has rolled on his co-conspirators, and that's why we're where we are right now.
And where we are as of, you know, today or yesterday and today, and for people in our neck of the woods paying attention, and that is this indictment of Randy Davis out of Daphne. And here, y'all write, Randy, who is 66, was arrested and indicted Wednesday on charges of conspiracy and bribery. Prosecutors with the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Middle District of Alabama say Davis worked with former House Majority Leader Mickey Hammond and an investor in a diabetes clinic, which were operated by Trina Health. Now, walk us through this, Bill. I was reading through today. It sounds like what the idea is, this company, this Trina Health, wants to do some sort of diabetes treatment, but, you know, I think they withheld the name of the company, but I quickly read through the lines. That meant Blue Cross Blue Shield didn't want to pay for it. Is that the Sean Sullivan country boy angle here of this?
Absolutely. Back in 2016, Representative Mickey Hammond and Representative Randy Davis tried to push legislation. They tried to get Blue Cross Blue Shield to pay for dialysis treatments, a form of dialysis treatment that was only supplied through this Trina Healthcare. And Mickey Hammond had a portion of that company, owned a small portion of that company, just enough so he didn't have to report it on his ethics filing.
Yeah, explain that to people real quickly. I know we got a lot to get through, but how does that work?
Well, after you own a certain percentage, and I don't remember exactly what it is.
I think it's 5%.
Yeah, 5 to 10% of a company, then you have to report it on your filings, your government filings, that say, I own this, I own that, I have so much money in the bank, I owe so much money. So they gave him just under the threshold of where he had to report.
Gotcha.
Which that in itself should tell you there's something a little funky there. But again, Mickey Hammond was charged basically with trying to push legislation, using his office for personal gain, that would benefit a company that he was an owner in. And so he pled guilty, he was sentenced, he's already out of prison. I think he only did like 6 months or 6 weeks, whatever it was. It wasn't a long sentence. But part of that was he agreed to cooperate, is our understanding. And as a result, they've wrapped up the CEO of the company, Mr. Gilbert. Marty Connor has been charged for lobbying for the company, and Jack Williams as well, a representative from North Alabama area or Central Alabama around the Birmingham area, he's been charged. And now Randy Davis. Well, Randy did a couple of silly things. One, he tried to push legislation that would have made Blue Cross Blue Shield pay for these treatments. And the business was only viable if they could get Blue Cross Blue Shield to pay for these treatments. Well, when Blue Cross Blue Shield backed down, excuse me, they tried to pass a bill to break up Blue Cross Blue Shield to scare them.
Some sort of stick to go with the carrot, right? I mean, the stick is, if y'all don't play ball here, we'll make your life hard.
Right. And that was silly because two representatives from the state of Alabama are not going to bring down Blue Cross Blue Shield today or tomorrow. I don't care
True.
How powerful you think you are.
True.
But so it just raised more red flags. You know, we were looking into this around the time that it happened, but we couldn't connect anyone to the company in a way that seemed illegal, and that's because Mr. Hammond, Rep. Hammond, had filed his ethics paperwork just under the threshold. So he hid it from public view. And that's one of the things that these documents are so important because the public would have been able to immediately see that he had an interest in passing that legislation had our ethics laws been just a little bit tougher.
Now, okay, that goes back into the broader conversation about ethics, but I'm going to drill into this a little bit more. Can you hang on? We got to go to the news break and come right back. Can you pick this up?
Yeah.
All right. Talking to Bill Britt with the Alabama Political Reporter, alreporter.com, and getting some, because I know this morning when we had the story here, reading through portions of this indictment, the name Brandi Davis, people down here know, but these different players and how this all is alleged to have happened, it takes a little more lifting here. We're trying to lay out the story for you, and Bill will do that when we get back. All right, our phone number and text line, 2-343-0106, 343-0106. Coming right back.
Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:33, FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile on this Thursday. I tell you, we are packed with stuff here. A lot to get through, and it's good to have the heavy lift being done, in this case, by Bill Britt from the Alabama Political Reporter, as we're running through this indictment handed down yesterday involving continued involvement for a lot of people, but new in this mix, it's Representative Brandi Davis out of Daphne. So, Bill, okay, so the idea is, I'm going to try to walk it through and you tell me where I'm right or wrong. So Trina Health Company, this healthcare company, has some sort of insulin delivery something, right, for diabetes. Right. They have something. And Blue Cross Blue Shield says they're not going to cover this insulin therapy. Am I right there?
You're okay. Absolutely right. They did not see the value in covering it. And again, if you have medical issues in Alabama, you basically need Blue Cross Blue Shield to cover it so that anybody gets paid, you know, because this type of treatment is so expensive, you have to have your insurer pay it.
Okay, so there's this company has this treatment, the Big Magilla, that owns the beyond the lion's share of the healthcare business in our state. Blue Cross Blue Shield says we're not covering it. Then you have, at least according to the indictment, Brandi Davis, Mickey Hammond, they are, and I guess Jack Williams, do they all have part of the action for Trina Healthcare? They're all somehow invested in it?
Yeah, Mickey Hammond actually was the first. He owned a portion of the company. Now, he said they gave him a portion of that company because he was giving them advice on how to set up their office. Later on, it came out that, well, they were buying influence. And he admitted to that. So he solicited, our understanding, he solicited Brandi Davis to help him pass legislation with the promise of profits for Brandi Davis from this company. And this goes back to how these guys get here, and they want to make government pay them. They want the things that we hire them to do to pay them extra money. But what they're doing is basically selling influence. And that is illegal in our state. So what Brandi is accused of doing is selling his office, basically, for personal gain. I mean, he wanted to make money off of being a legislator other than the almost $50,000 a year we pay these guys for a part-time job.
So Mickey Hammond, we talked about that at the first, had that 4% or whatever, just under the threshold amount of Trina to stay out of having to file that. Did the indictment show, did Brandi Davis have a percentage of the company, or was all on the come? Was it that if this works, then you get paid?
And that's my understanding, is that he was offered a percentage in the company or a percentage of the money that was made. And I'm not totally clear on that. I apologize. I don't have the story in front of me.
Well, and because what I'm trying to lay out here, so folks like me can understand, is this, you know, at least the indictment, the accusation here, a straight up quid pro quo? I mean, you go do this, you know, you wouldn't have done this, but we're going to give you a reason to do this, and now you use your influence as a legislator to change the law.
Right, and that's it. it's very much like when Mike Hubbard pushed legislation that would profit one of the people that he worked for. You can't do that. That's illegal. You cannot use your office to promote a business, much less pass legislation to promote a business that's going to line your pockets. And that's what Representative Hammond pled guilty to doing, and that's what they're accusing Randy Davis of doing, is pushing legislation to that would profit him personally. It didn't benefit the city of Daphne. It didn't benefit Mobile. It didn't benefit Alabama. It benefited Randy Davis uniquely, and that's illegal. And that's what he's accused of basically doing, is trying to pass legislation that would profit him personally. And my feeling on this is the reason they think they've got Mr. Davis tied up is because Mickey Hammond has agreed to testify against him.
So Mickey Hammond was the first arrest, and you think he's turned state's or fed's evidence here?
Yeah, I do. He got too light of a sentence, you know. And you get light sentences for things like this. I mean, Don Siegelman committed a similar crime and spent 6 years in prison. Now, it wasn't as big, but still a similar crime.
Yeah, this goes back to the discussions you and I've had umpteen times on the show about the ethics law in the state and the hey, we're going to change it. Well, we really didn't change it. We're going to back it up. We're going to adjust this. Hey, we don't want it so restrictive that people can't have a job. But, I mean, there's some part of this. To me, if these accusations are accurate, this is not in the gray. This is black and white. I mean, if you have a company that you have a reason to, you know, you're either getting a percentage of sales or you own a percentage of the company, and they have an active interest in something you're doing in the legislature, you got to disclose. You can't, I mean, I don't know how, if I'm missing something, how you can spin it in your mind and say, well, I'm not really stepping over the line on this one.
You know, for years, we accused the Democrats of being so corrupt, and here the Republicans come in, and in 7 years, you know, at least five or six or more of them have been convicted for laws that they passed. You know, these are the guys who championed ethics reforms, and they have been charged under the very ethics laws that they championed. Because what happens is, and you and I know this very well, when they get down here, they're surrounded by all this money. They're surrounded by lobbyists. They're surrounded by people who are living a lifestyle that they can only imagine. And so all of a sudden they're offered a crumb, and they're willing to sell their office, their reputation, their family to get a little piece of that crumb that's the big, big money. And I don't know that they convict Mr. Davis on this, but so many of them have done it now that it's becoming a farce to say that the Republicans and Democrats, when it comes to corruption, are any different. They're no different. You can take the label off. This is human nature. They get around the big, big money, and they want a piece. And that's what Mr. Hammonds did, and now they're charging Mr. Davis with doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah, I want to ask this, because this is Tony and Robertsdale texting in here, Bill. He said, it's lobbying. You know what I'm saying? And he's not the only one. Somebody else had sent an email this morning. What they're doing, they're lobbying. This is just regular. This is, you know, not illegal.
It's illegal for a legislator to lobby for a bill.
Yeah.
It's illegal for a legislator to pass a bill.
Because they're not lobbyists.
Thank you,
Bill.
No, they're not lobbyists. They're not registered lobbyists.
Right.
We pay them. All right, anybody that says that is stupid, because a lobbyist is paid by a corporation to do a job. These legislators are paid by the state of Alabama. The taxpayers pay them to represent them. We don't pay them to represent Serena Healthcare, and anybody that thinks we ought to pay them to represent Serena Healthcare or Blue Cross Blue Shield is a moron. I mean, I'm sorry, but look, they work for me. I pay Alabama taxes. You pay Alabama taxes. They are beholden and swore an oath to protect us, to represent us. And when they represent companies that are willing to pay them, then they're breaking the law. I mean, that's just real simple stuff. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure that out.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there are some of the things, at least the, you know, the arguments that have been brought to me. They say, Sean, you're always so hard on legislature and ethics. What do you think about this scenario and that scenario? And there's some where I can go, you know what, I see some gray in that. These, if they are as alleged, I don't see the gray there. And, oh, by the way, before we wrap up, too, and I don't, this is not wrapped up permanently. We'll talk about it more going forward. But what's the situation right now with Ed Henry, too? Because that was like a couple weeks ago, talked about that indictment, and then I haven't seen too much more on that.
No, it's gone quiet. You know, Ed says that it's a conspiracy to get him because he's a conservative. And what it looks like is he's done the same thing that these other guys have done, is that they try to use their office as a taxpayer employee. Remember, they are our employees. They try to use their office to profit personally. And this is, we have to stop looking at this in a partisan light. This is not a partisan issue. This is a matter of right and wrong. And when we're paying someone's salary and they're moonlighting illegally, you know, and you can argue they're working against our interests. But they're also working only for themselves. And we don't hire them to represent Blue Cross Blue Shield or Trina Healthcare. We hire them to represent the people of their district. They don't do that. It doesn't matter whether they're Republican or Democrat. They're crooks. That's what we should call them.
Here's a theory came through on the text line. I don't have the information all in front of me to say yes or no, but the texter says, aren't all the Republicans that have been charged under the ethics law either federal or state former Democrats? In other words, were they all Democrats at one time that switched to the Republican Party? I don't know that. I don't know if that's factual.
No, that's not factual at all. Mike Hubbard was a lifelong Republican. I don't know about Mickey Hammond, but I tend to think so. So and we have plenty of lifelong Republicans. Yeah, did plenty of Democrats switch? You know why they switched? Because it's all about the power. It's not about the party.
Well said. Hey, Bill, remind folks if they want to obviously read this story more on the website at alreporter.com, but if I got a feeling y'all will talk about this on The Voice this weekend.
Yes, we will. That, we're going to talk about Sacha Baron Cohen and that nonsense. We're also going to talk about how this case involving Spencer Collier, the state has paid some $300,000 to defend that fool, Robert Bentley. And so we got a few things cooking this week. And might bring out some stuff that nobody's even aware of about a senator that escaped being indicted because he went crying on the shoulder of Robert Bentley, and Robert Bentley got him out of going to jail.
Oh, really? Well, then we definitely need to watch. Watch, of course, here in our area, Fox 10's got the show.
Absolutely.
Sunday mornings at 9, right?
That's it. And we really love our viewers down there. They've really been supportive and watch what we do. And listen, give us 28 minutes and we will tell you more about what's going on in Montgomery than anybody else in the state.
Bill, as always, I appreciate your time, your update on this, and I think I'm going to be checking back soon on this story.
Sean, thank you very much. Always appreciate it. You're the best, man.
Thank you, Bill. Bill Britt with the Alabama Political Reporter. And we'll grab some calls after this as well. And, you know, I appreciate, like, a bunch of text here. And, Johnny, I'm with you. Johnny, but I can't regulate what others say. Johnny says, remind your guest, innocent until proven guilty. I'm with you. Although, there's very few of us that care about that anymore. You and I. That's why I said alleged. What they're saying here, but there are sure a bunch of names getting thrown in this mix. You would think this would have been all cleaned out a couple years ago, but if any of this is true, how much further do we have to dig on this?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. A reminder here, I just got a note from Amber Guy over at the Mobile Public Library. The West Regional Library's parking lot is being resurfaced today. Parking availability less than anticipated. Okay. In other words, let me translate that. Y'all, there ain't going to be nearly as much parking as normal at the West Regional Library. So they said, listen, it's all right if you have materials checked out from the West Regional. You can return it to the West Regional Library later. So if today is like the day you're going to pull in there at the West Regional and turn back in your page turner, your scandalous bodice ripper novel, whatever you checked out, you can wait because they're resurfacing the parking lot. So there you go. More information, I just Google Mobile Public Library. It's on there. Thanks for that note, Amber. And also, Dalton, by the way, we have really lost our way because as we comment on what drives viral video, by the way, oh yeah, the stupid giraffe is pregnant again too. April the is pregnant again. Hussy. She's pregnant again, so that's going to dominate the news. Whenever she, you know, and whatever, what is it, 14 months or whatever the gestation period is for a giraffe, whenever she's getting ready to drop her next one, that'll be a big story at that point. That'll shut down the internet with people looking. And so maybe that's what'll save Facebook, because Facebook's still, Facebook getting treated like a rent-a-car right now in the market. Was bad yesterday. It's even worse today for Facebook. But maybe that'll save it if the giraffe comes back. No, but I was going to say the Facebook Live. There's a Facebook Live up now of a fender bender. And I saw it pop up in the feed. Like, you wonder what pops it. This will be some of the discussion. President Trump talking a little bit about, you know, banning conservative voices on Twitter and these things. Well, that's on the negative side, what's done with social media. But on the other side, what gets promoted? You know what I'm saying? Like, what gets promoted to your feeds versus other things? The live feed of the fender bender is getting fed. For some reason, something in the formula there makes them think what I wanted to look at is a live feed of it. Like, if something was happening, if there was a giraffe in the fender bender, then we'd have something. But in this case, it was just the fender bender. Coming up next hour, Jeff Poore joins us. Pretty interesting story. Well, let's say it's the side story or the story behind the story when it comes to replacing Paul Ryan as Speaker of the House. Is this going to be like a Roman Senate kind of situation going on as people vie for that position, and how the president could wade off into this debate? We'll talk about that coming up with Jeff in just about 7 or 8 minutes. Also, a reminder, tonight, another great event at Cottage Hill Package. The folks from Folklore Brewing and Meadery. That's like mead, not like meat. That's mead with a D. Folklore Brewing and Meadery from Dothan is coming to Cottage Hill Package, and that'll be tonight at 6, as Zach will be pouring free samples of these fine beverages from Folklore. Their Grateful Red American Amber Ale, their Front Porch Pale Ale, their Snipe Hunt India Pale Ale, their Wiregrass Wheat American Wheat Ale, their Shadowcaster Porter, their Golden Hawk Kolsch Style Ale. And this all gets kicked off at 6. And while you're there, of course, make sure you check out the full selection of all the other craft beers there, and great wines, fine spirits, and the huge cigar selection. Cottage Hill Package, online at cottagehillpackage.com. Find them on Facebook. And coming very soon, Havana Ray's Cigar Lounge in Midtown. We'll talk more about that very, very soon. All right, and that is, 6 o'clock tonight. What, did you see the feed there with the fender bender on the Facebook Live?
Yes, I did. Well, I didn't actually click on the feed because I saw the description.
Well, I didn't click. I saw that it was happening. Yeah, I didn't. Well, maybe I clicked on it. But I'm just saying.
But I did, when you were talking about April the giraffe, I did see.
She knocked up again.
Yeah, she is pregnant again. What is this, baby number 50?
I don't know.
49?
Hussy.
I think number 5 or 6. And she's not even giving birth until next year. I mean, she'll probably give birth after the next season of Game of Thrones. But yesterday there were three in a row Facebook Live notifications that I got from three different media companies.
Okay.
Most of them local. So Mobile has the market cornered on April the giraffe. But what were they? I didn't watch the what were they broadcasting? She's not giving birth until next year.
Right. But they just, it's just like, well, here she is. But can you just imagine inside her, there's a baby giraffe?
There must be enough people. I mean, it's supply and demand, right?
But why is it
if there wasn't a demand?
Agreed completely. That's why I say, people say, I don't know why things happen. The reason people get elected, the reason things are, because people enjoy them and consume the content. That's fine. Listen, do your thing. I think the nature, I guess it bothers people sometimes that will work in media very hard to produce product and content and stories, and then they'll see, you know, like we had the viral video we had with the dang toad that got into the lobby here.
Yes.
That melted down our Facebook feed. Like the toad was hopping around, came in. Kelly videoed for quite a while, and then I took the toad and put him back out in the flower bed.
Where he belongs,
where he does his toad kind of stuff. That thing was huge. So I don't. Maybe it's people have so much bad news or so is many that, other things that go on that it's sure nice to have a diversion. But it's the second I think folks like to, because I like to have a diversion. I'm a human being as well. I like the diversions. Then somebody said, well, that's flippant. Let's get to, you know, unhappy well, you know, news.
That has to be it. They have to have decided that maybe there's so much news out there, hard-hitting news, national news, that these softball stories become a lot more popular than they should be. But I think April the Giraffe has safely entered the top three. I think only three women give birth anymore because that's the only people that get the news. You have Beyonce, you have Kate Middleton,
yes,
and you have April the Giraffe.
Well, two women
and
a giraffe.
I guess a Kardashian also.
Yeah, she haven't. Which I,
well, there's always a Kardashian giving birth,
which is one of the comedy things. If y'all ever could come by the studio, that one of the jokes that is funny around here is I don't know which Kardashian is which, even though everybody else around me does. And I'd be like, yeah, it's whatever Kardashian. It's Peggy. I don't know my Kardashians.
But one is always giving birth.
Sally Kardashian. Is there Sally and Peggy?
Maybe that's the next one. Sally. That's
Jane
too,
Kardashian. Is there a Jane? I don't know.
Those names are too basic.
Just checking. All right. There it is. So Game of Thrones will be completed before we get the next baby giraffe.
I think so. But April the Giraffe will have more screen time than Game of Thrones.
Very much so. And it maybe even go into like a pay channel event, too. They'll say, hey, man, we maybe move this over to some of the premium channels. All right, Jeff Poore joins us coming up next hour. We'll grab your calls and texts as well at 343-0106.